Welcome to Accounting High.
For me, RoyalWise is a creative endeavor. I actually consider teaching QuickBooks a creative outlet for myself. I consider setting up a QuickBooks file a creative outlet because every customer is different. There's nothing cookie cutter about it.
It's the act of creation.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I love it and I'm fascinated by it because every client who comes to me is a puzzle to solve. And whoever thinks accounting is boring is not doing it right. Because it's fun to like figure out how all the pieces fit together.
Well, that's our mission here at Accounting High, is to let people know accounting is fun. It's an act of creation. In everything that you're doing, building these relationships, the comprehension, the retention is all an act of creation for you.
Mm-hmm. May I have your attention, please?
From cloud accountancy way back to desktop accounting advisory and tech apps adopt, went solo with the rap, Scotty's still the same. Raleigh is the spot where I edutain, like, share, connect, comment, follow this, and subscribe to our podcast. Next one we drop, cause you know it don't stop, it's 24/7 on the Accounting High lot. TikTok clips don't watch, just some shitty tax talk. Cleaning up accounting with a bucket and a mop, then we lean back and nod because the class is about to start at Accounting High. Scotty, OKR.
Accounting High. Accounting High.
OKR. Introducing the star of our show,
Alicia Katz Pollock and Scotty.
We're going to have a problem here.
I am so excited to have my very special guest faculty on with us today. We got Alicia Katz Pollock on.
Yeah.
Big round of applause from our Woo-hoo! Students. So excited. Alicia, it's been a long time coming. Been waiting for this moment. We've got you here now. Thank you for joining me from a hotel room. You're on the road. You're a roving reporter here with us today.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. I've been a long-term listener, first-time panelist.
Oh, awesome. Well, tell our students a little bit about yourself if they don't already know. You're the founder of RoyalWise, but go ahead and tell us a little bit more about yourself. How did you get into this accounting space? You can go as early as high school if you want.
Well, I've been a computer geek since I was a kid, and at 13 was when the first Apple computers came out, and I got my Apple Plus, my Mac Plus on my desk, and I was like, what do I do with it? And my dad was a dentist and had walls of paper files, and so the first thing that I did with my computer was build a database and digitize his entire filing system so that he could send out recall postcards and mailing labels. So I've been a computer geek from the very beginning. And I've also just been a natural born teacher. You know, I was that kid in second grade who was teaching the kindergartners how to read. So I've been doing what I do and being who I am from the very beginning. And, I love helping people understand whatever it is that they need.
So a natural teacher and your dad was a dentist. I didn't hear anything really about accounting in there.
And in fact, I came into what I'm doing kind of backwards. I came into it from the training side, that because I was a computer consultant, I was helping people with their computer systems. And originally it was Microsoft Office and then Apple. So I've been a Microsoft trainer. I was an Apple trainer. And then my clients started asking me about QuickBooks. And at first I was like, well, I use it myself, both for my jewelry company and to run my educational services. But I was not a bookkeeper. I was not an accountant. Oh. And so I started kind of digging in and learning how to do it. And I ran my setups past a couple of bookkeepers. And they're like, actually, Alicia, this is bombproof. Like, this is really good. This is really good. And so I started learning everything that I didn't know and discovered that I was having way more fun teaching QuickBooks than I was any of my other topics. And so that was probably about 10 or 12 years ago, where I really started diving in on QuickBooks.
And that was mainly the desktop version at that point, was it? Or was it online?
No, it was, I was using QuickBooks for Mac myself.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. And I'd done a little bit of work with QuickBooks desktop on a PC, but it was when QBO really started taking off, like 2011 was when it became my specialty.
Because I always compared QuickBooks for Mac and QuickBooks Online like essentially the same thing. They were pared down versions of what it was on the PC. So you learned from there and it evolved pretty quickly. You know, over the next 4 or 5 years, it got a lot better on both the there is no QuickBook for Mac anymore because it's all QBO, right? Or do
there is still QuickBooks for Mac. I don't expect it to last very long. I don't like using it. I mean, we're an Apple training company as well as a QuickBooks training company. So I live and breathe Apple technology, and I will not let anybody use the QuickBooks for Mac. If they come to me, I'm like, no, you're going to QBO.
Well, let me just say for all of our students, I have seen your Mac museum and your garage. Mm-hmm. You have Macs that date back to probably pre-2000. Like you've got some. You've got every iteration, every version. You've got all the iMacs in there. It's like a museum.
The whole rainbow of iMacs.
Yeah. It's dope. And so really, you're not an accountant by trade. You're a trainer by trade. You're a teacher. Mm-hmm. Perfect fit for this Accounting High thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's why when you started Accounting High, I was like, ooh, I'm going to get in on that because I am a teacher. I do run a school.
Yeah,
so,
you do. Yeah. So tell me about how RoyalWise got started.
I had my computing consulting company, and my husband was doing web design. And so he had RoyalWise under as his company for web design and web hosting. And when we first started dating, he was doing his thing. I was doing my thing. And I also had a jewelry company. I used to make astrology charts into necklaces. And so my world was jewelry and computers, and his world was computers. And then one day we finally went, when we got together and decided that we were going to get married, we also went, well, wait, why are we running two separate computer consulting companies? And so we broke off all of my computer training and bookkeeping support moved it into his RoyalWise company. And originally, because it was still mostly Apple at that point, like we would pick up the phone and whoever was first available would just take the support call. And then when QuickBooks really started going through the roof around 2014, we decided that I would just dedicate myself to the QuickBooks training. And that's when things really just started, you know, escalating rapidly. Okay.
Well, tell me about your first interactions with the QuickBooks community too, because that's a pretty big community. And I'm learning this as I go. Like over the last couple of years, I dove in head first because I've always been in the zero community. And now that green and blue are kind of blending together. I see all the communities are kind of going together. But tell me about your first interactions with that.
So I started independently, and I would do local classes inside Portland, and people would come to the facility, and they were traditional classes. And I realized that the handouts that I was giving for this all day class, I was printing them out and binding them, and I realized it was costing me like $25 or $30 once I started including my time for each of my binders. And so I decided that I wanted to publish it as a book. And so I rewrote the training materials so that they stood alone, and I published it on Amazon. And so I have this book. And so this is about 2015.
You wrote the book on QuickBooks.
I wrote the book on QuickBooks. And so it was kind of a beginner's guide. You know, it's just like, sure, this is an invoice. This is how you use it. This is how you pay it. That's when the first QuickBooks Connect happened. And so I showed up at QuickBooks Connect, and like, I didn't know anybody. And I was just absolutely wowed.
And how many years ago was this?
The level of the swag, that was 2015.
2015. Okay.
So 9 years ago. So from just like, you know, the level of the swag to how well Intuit treated everybody to being surrounded by like-minded people. Like everybody was fun and funny and smart and kind. And like, That's how I operate. Those are my people. And so, whereas in the Apple world, the Apple community in Portland or the Apple Consultants Network, it's really competitive. Like, oh, there's a client. Oh, wait, I need that client. Oh, if you have that client, then I don't have a client. And there's a scarcity mindset. Yeah. And in the QuickBooks Pro Advisor realm, it's the opposite. It's like, oh, I have this client, but they're not suiting me. Can I give them to you? And so there's a lot more collaboration and a lot more there. Not a scarcity mindset. You know, in RoyalWise, we've always said that we don't have to fight over slices of the pie. We just bake a bigger pie. There's plenty for everybody. So when I walked into QVC and to QuickBooks Connect and met all these people who felt the same way, it's like, oh, you know, I think I want to do more QuickBooks and less Apple because that just totally suits me. And so
that makes
here
sense.
I am.
Just from an outside observer, Apple is more of a closed, you know, they do it. I mean, just the philosophy of Apple in general is closed, handle everything. QuickBooks used to be like that, but when it got to be QuickBooks Online, open API, open source. Now Intuit has been working with a lot of different apps. Everybody works with Intuit. I do think Xero kind of started that trend. When Xero came in, Xero was open. QuickBooks was closed initially. So as QuickBooks opened up, then the theory or the mindset and the philosophy was bred into the bookkeepers that were using it too. And they had an open source because by the time it was QuickBooks Connect, all the other vendors were there on the vendor hall too. Is that right? Mm-hmm. So yeah. Everybody's collaborating, working together, and everybody wins. It's like that rising tide. And obviously you related to that more than that Mac closed mindset, because that's generally speaking, Mac's always going to be like that. And that's what I love about Mac. I still very diehard.
It's a little universe.
It's not really communal though. It's a little universe for you. It's a universe, not a us verse or a metaverse, maybe.
I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. Ooh, because one of the things that Apple has really made possible is communication between people, like, you know, shared photo albums and message groups. And there's a lot of different ways of collaborating with your loved ones and your family and your friends through Apple technology that's not in other platforms.
Thank you for setting me straight. I just wanted to say universe and put a pun on there, put a play on words there. So, but that's what you noticed. And so QuickBooks was wide open. Who were some of the first people that you met in that space at that QuickBooks Connect?
Well, the very first workshop that I went to was a QuickBooks certification workshop, because that's when they originally, that was the focus of the first QuickBooks Connect, was all training. So basic training and advanced training. And the first training that I went to was with Laura Redmond. And the second one was with Michelle Long. And I actually remember that was when I first learned that opening balance equity had to be zero was in Michelle Long's workshop at QVC. But at the end of the day, I literally went, wait a minute, I can do this. Wait, I know almost everything that they're saying. I'm getting little great nuggets here and there, but like I know more than I thought I knew, and I can teach. And I was like, wait, I want to do this. I want to be one of the people on stage. And so then it became my mission to find out how to get on stage. And so I spent my first QuickBooks Connect trying to figure out who that was. And somebody finally told me about the Trainer Writer Network and Allison Ball. And so then it became, how do I find Allison Ball? And so I'm like looking all over the conference for Allison Ball. And I go to one of the keynotes and I'm watching this woman on the row in front of me texting madly, like every single thing that was being shared on screen. And I saw something flash on her screen and it was Allison. She was sitting right in front of me. So I handed Allison my brand new hot off the presses book. And I said, I want to be one of your trainers. And that's where it all began.
And history was made. That was great. So a born teacher that gets into bookkeeping through tech. And this is sort of going to be a blend. This is we're talking about tech. Everything is kind of tech centered because that's been your life. I've always been embedded in tech because my parents own a software company. So I'd never really had a choice. And that's what got me into the community. My community was blue. Your community was green. But all in the same, everybody was welcoming us with open arms. And it's beautiful when you start to interact with more people that are like you from different places too. And some of that imposter syndrome goes away because now you see, well, this person's just like me, same background, maybe even dissimilar background. And you say, well, I could be up on stage too. That's a great feeling. And it's really empowering too. for you as a teacher to be on stage and to impact others. Tell me about your first on stage moment. What were you teaching? What was that like?
Well, the two that come to mind is my first workshop at QuickBooks Connect was the following year, and I did it on tricky situations. And so it was like at the time you couldn't make a negative deposit. So it was the workarounds for what do you do when your refunds for the day are more than your sales for the day, and how to handle loans and how to handle credit, vendor credits when there's inventory involved, you know, like the non-straightforward situations. And so that was the first class that I did. And during that session, I was teaching something and somebody from the audience put up their hand and they said, well, what if you did it this way? And I thought about it like on stage, on my feet. And I'm like, you know, I like your way better. And so I taught that and gave them full credit right on the spot. And I actually saw my conference evaluations afterwards and everybody was like, oh my God, she actually didn't get defensive. She embraced it and shared it. And, you know, so that was like, okay, now
that's a growth
really
mindset.
Is a community. Mm-hmm.
Very much. And you displayed that in real time. You probably were real proud of yourself at that moment because you could have
being able to think on my feet. Yeah. And being able to think on my feet and finding a way to actually incorporate it. I was really glad that I was able to bring it forward like that.
That's awesome. And what's the other example that you were?
The other one was I was invited into Intuit's Roadshow that back in the day, 2018, 2019, we used to have a core of trainers. It's the same people who do the QB training events now, the free webinars at qbtrainingevents.com for Intuit certification. But we used to actually tour the country and go around from city to city to city. And that was just absolutely fantastic. Aaron Walsh Dyer, you know, who I miss dearly, Liz Scott, Bryce Forney, Stacy Kildall. There was a whole team of us and we would just take different legs of the journey. And so you're always paired with somebody different. I'm Heather Satterley. And I love traveling. So being on the road show was awesome. And, you know, I have two kids, but from the get-go, we raised our kids to be okay about one or the other of my husband or I not being around, traveling, change of scenery. And so my kids used to have a picture of the family with, like, you know, Jamie, my husband, the two kids, and then me on the end. And they used to fold the ends over. So whichever parent was out of town was just folded so that you would see whichever the three or it was. And eventually it got folded so much that the paddles fell off. But it was That's my hilarious. Kids' way of processing, like, which
who's
going to
be home
around
this week?
And when. Yeah.
That's interesting too. And that could be a challenge if you guys both weren't able to step up to the plate when the other one was gone too. So, and it sounds like you and Jamie have that relationship where it's symbiotic, where one could pick up and the other one is gone. Even when you were picking up the phone and whoever picked up the phone ran with that support call or ran with the kids while they were at home.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one of the things that I'm really blessed in my life is that my life partner is also my business partner and it works for us. I mean, this is like a future conference topic that I'm all about is like how to actually have a successful business with your partner. But it works really well for us. We always have something to talk about. We are able to step into each other's shoes. He was actually a PC person. I'm the one who got him into Apple. And he's got his own Apple podcast called JMac Fixes Everything. So it just works.
Where's JMac come from? Where's the Mac?
Well, Jamie and Mac. Teaches Macs.
Jamie teaches Max. That makes sense. I was just thinking if there was a last name that fit too and a double entendre, but there will.
No,
we'll
Jamie teaches Max. Yeah, Jamie. Awesome. He calls himself Jamie JME is what we call him. So, you know, instead of JAMIE, we just call him
JME. I like that. I dig
and
it.
So it became JMac.
You know, I go by an acronym too sometimes. So
OKR.
My OKR, yes. But I like that JME because I see software companies do that too. It's trendy. That's dope. Teaching tech, tell me about, do you also do bookkeeping now too with clients?
Yeah.
Okay.
My bookkeeping really just started revving up in the last year or so. So, you know, I have this master's in teaching. I've been teaching people how to do bookkeeping. At RoyalWise, I have a membership program. And at the gold level, I meet with people once a month and so I can do hands-on training in their books. And because my consulting has always been one-off based and project based, you know, set this person up on QuickBooks, solve their problem, clean up their file, teach them how to do it, come back and look at what they're doing every quarter, at least once a year, if not every quarter. I was having regular clients, but they were still in charge of their books. And I was still just kind of doing the due diligence to make sure that their taxes were right. But, you know, this is now numbering in the hundreds of people over the last 12 years. So as I'm now branching into training bookkeepers, I had a couple students, a couple members of my program who were just, you know, learning well, been with me for a couple years. And my favorite part was asking good questions that, you know, one of them, her name is Brenda. The thing with Brenda is that she could tell when something wasn't right, even if she didn't know how to fix it. And so those were the questions she would bring to me. And I was like, you know, I hear nightmares about trying to staff bookkeepers who don't really know what they're doing, but this is somebody who I could work with. And so she and I talked, and I decided to actually formalize some of my training contracts with people that I'd been doing the bookkeeping for, but not the dailies, just the quarterly and the reconciliations and year-end reviews. And so I decided to actually, and when they did need bookkeepers, I was always referring them out to the community. And so in the Portland community or other places, I would say, hey, I've got a client for you. And so for 10 years, I was taking my clients and sending them out to other bookkeepers. And Jamie the whole time is going, Alicia, you're leaving money on the table. Alicia, mm-hmm. you're leaving money on the table. You need to start doing bookkeeping. I'm like, I don't want to be a bookkeeper. I want to be a bookkeeper trainer. And so this became kind of the perfect opportunity to actually become a bookkeeping firm. And so I brought Brenda on as a contractor. And now the people who have been seeing me for years periodically now are getting some more handholding. And so now I actually have a bookkeeping firm, and we're working with probably 30 people on contract. You know, but then I've got still the hundreds of people that are just, you know, occasional check-ins.
So now you can walk it like you talk it. You can walk the talk. Exactly. That's pretty cool. Tell me some of the challenges it is to train accountants and training bookkeepers.
So the biggest thing is people not knowing what they don't know. You know, like I said, the thing that struck me with Brenda was that she could tell when something was wrong. People don't know when something isn't right. The other thing with training is that training
takes
time.
They think they're right. They don't know what's not right. They think everything is right.
They think everything's fine. Everything's fine. There's mm-hmm. nothing wrong here. And the biggest obstacle to training is the repetition. That being told something once works for some people, but it does not work for most people. They need repetition. They need practice. They need drilling. They need multiple learning channels. And so, you know, I'll say something to a client and they'll go, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Or I'll say something to a bookkeeper, they'll go, oh, yeah, I got it. And then 6 months later, they're asking me the exact same question and making the exact same mistake. So when the invention of Zoom came on, I had started recording all of the sessions. And so when I would give a training, then I would make that training, I would give them the recording so that they didn't have to ask me again in 6 months. They could just go play the recording and relearn it. And so the invention of the modern technology with Zoom or Loom or the different software where you can record what you're doing has absolutely transformed my delivery. Now, remember, I started doing this 15 years ago when there was no live streaming. I mean, I started doing this before there was an iPhone.
You were doing it in person. Yeah.
I was doing it in person before there were iPhones. And so I was sitting in the classroom going, you know, I'm teaching this class and I've got these 15 people, but like, what if I could broadcast it and they didn't have to be in Portland? They could be anywhere. And what if it didn't have to be right now from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock on a Tuesday? What if they could watch it anytime? So like, I'm like sizzling away trying to like figure out how to make all of this available. And, you know, so I discovered Zoom back in 2018,
sure,
long before COVID, because we had a snowstorm in Portland and I had a client that I had to go see and I couldn't travel to her. So I'm like searching for like, how can I possibly communicate with her? And I discovered Zoom. So we've been using Zoom for years and years now.
You weren't on then the Skype. You weren't on the Skype train. Skype was prime.
Skype was there, but it didn't.
felt more personal and not business.
I had used it a couple times. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Something to keep in touch with your grandparents. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think I had join.me at the time was the original one, but it just didn't work really well. But when COVID happened, the world caught up with me. And as unfortunate and horrifying as COVID was and is, it really transforms what I'm doing and how I'm doing it. That the very first thing that we did, because we're an Apple company and most of my husband's clients are seniors, is we gave free how to use Zoom trainings. And the very first one that we did in April of 2020, we had 86 attendees. All the average age was probably also 86. I mean, it was all seniors. And they're like, is this thing on? Can they hear me? All at the same time. It was a riot. So we like had to mute everybody. And we're like on the phone with all of the different people trying to say, you know, trying to get them connected. And it was the first time that any of them had Zoomed. And it was just absolutely heartwarming. And so we taught all of the seniors how to use Zoom.
Heartwarming,
so
not frustrating.
Well, we don't get frustrated.
I like your outlook. I like that.
Yeah. Life's too short to get frustrated. You just deal with what's in front of you and you do it with a smile. And so we taught all of these seniors so that they can stay in touch with their families while they were in isolation. And then we started doing Zoom parties. We called it the Hooliday Party because owls are the theme of Royalizer, our mascot. And so in that fall, we did our first Christmas party and then called it a Hooliday Party. And we invented different Zoom games that are now actually ubiquitous, like, you know, like Heather and Liz are using those same games for their annuals. But we just really embraced the technology. And like every time we learn something, we just want to like share it with everybody and teach everybody how to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, again, a growth mindset and a communal mindset too, that you learned from these tech, from tech. Tech was sort of the bridge for you, for your whole platform. And I love that. I think that's awesome. So let's talk a little bit more about teaching accountants, teaching their staff. What are some of the things you learned over the years? What are some of the big things that you've learned over the years doing that?
Yeah. So wrapping it back to what I was saying earlier, the biggest challenge with training is always comprehension and retention. The other big obstacle that you have to get over, another one, is that the technology is always changing. And another one is that you can train one person now, but they're going to need, in addition to them needing it later on, you're going to have somebody else who needs the same training. So we wound up like repeating the same trainings over and over and over again. And I realized that having a learning management system would be a great way of being able to store all of these training videos, whether it was for one person specific to their books or just making my QBO bootcamp available like to anyone, anytime. You know, going back to that fantasy that I had 15 years ago, or actually 18 years ago now, that we decided to kind of systematize all of it. And we started a learning management platform that we called the OWLS, the on-demand web-based learning solution.
Oh, wow. So was it OWLS? Was that your mascot before you came up with this? And then you turned it into an acronym?
Yeah, the acronym is actually Jennifer Diamond. Jen Diamond invented the acronym OWLS. So she gets full credit for that. So we had already been using an owl as our logo. And that just came from when we rebranded. That's what the artist came up with, was an owl wearing a crown and for royal and wise.
Yeah.
And we just kind of embraced that. And if you look at our logo really carefully, the wing is a computer mouse.
You've showed me that. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I love it. Yeah.
So that's like the subliminal art that's inside our logo. And so we call it the OWLS, and it is an LMS system. It's actually built on a platform that's designed for business training compliance. So like we went to school. We didn't just go to Thinkific and say like, here's my course. I'm a consultant. Here's my course to make money. We decided that we wanted an actual training program. And then I realized that in order for people to really adopt it, we had to really legitimize it. And so I spent literally 4 years working on my NASBA CPE certifications so that our courses are now all NASBA CPE approved.
Oh, that's beautiful. So what did you create your own LMS, or are you using a platform and built on it?
Yeah, we're built on another platform.
Which one?
It's called Cypher Learning. And it's incredibly flexible that we can really do anything that we want with it on the back end. And that's actually kind of led us to where we're going. We started in 2023 and we're just escalating it in the future. Is now we have the ability to make organizational portals. So an accounting firm, instead of sending people to the Royalize portal for training, they can actually make their own brand, custom branded portal for their firm, powered by my courses and powered by our platform. And then that way they have a controlled environment for their own compliance.
Oh, that's beautiful. So for a firm that wants to train their staff, they basically can have their own sort of white label. They're powered by.
Exactly.
Oh, that's so cool. This has been a very big vision for you that is almost fully formed, or do you still feel like you're just getting started?
I still feel like I'm just getting started. I have three additional plans in my head that I just don't have time to implement them all. So we're trying to get them all going. But one is, here's the three. One is Spanish language, that we want to go global with the training. We're trying to decide if we're going to bring on a Spanish speaker or if we're going to use AI or a combination of both. The second is that I'm the author for Quistiva Consultants QuickBooks Online textbooks. And we want to kind of get them out of the ivory tower and make them available on Amazon. So I'm undergoing a big publishing project to publish 6 books, hopefully by the summer.
What?
Yeah. Take this big book that I have that I wrote for him and, with permission from the publisher, turn it into smaller pieces. So instead of a one big QuickBooks Complete, it'll be a fundamentals book and a book on inventory and a book on the project center and a book on payroll. Oh, or you can buy the whole complete all in one book. So there's the publishing project. There is Xero. We actually get a lot of requests for Xero. We want to bring on some Xero trainers is another one of them. And I'm forgetting something. I have some other, I can't remember what the other one is. So I've got all these ideas for how I can leverage what we're already doing in brand new ways to get it out to different people. Like, some people are readers. Holding a book in your hand really actually helps you learn. And so that's why I want to go in that direction as well.
For sure, for sure. So comprehension and retention. Tell me some more things that you've learned around that as it relates to accountants. What do they have trouble with when it comes to comprehension and retention?
Well, a lot of the things is that there's a lot of scenarios where they're really occasional. You don't have to do it a whole lot. And so you learn it and it makes sense at the time, but then you don't have to use it again for 2 years. And now you're like, okay, now I have to go look up what it was that it did.
Like my passwords for some accounts or for some other things. Right. Yeah, learning how to do something all over again. Yeah.
Yeah. So for instance, doing a vendor credit involving inventory. Really, really rare. Very specific on how to do it. And so you have to have it, you have to be able to access that training later on. And so with our courses, when you enroll for a course with us, you get lifetime access to it. It doesn't go away. If you attend a live webinar, it's recorded, you have lifetime access. So when I teach, I fire hose you. I'm not one of those teachers where I waste the first 15 minutes just like, hey, how you doing? You know, and what it's like, I'm in and I'm giving you as much information as possible because I know that it's recorded and you can go back and watch me in half speed. Or maybe you know 90% of what I'm teaching, but you're there for those nuggets that you can't get from anywhere else. And so you can listen to me in double speed like a chipmunk until you get to the thing that you need and then stop and actually pay attention, then rewind it until you watch it over and over and over again. Oh, and that was the other thing that I want to do is I want to do a summer school this year. My team thinks I'm nuts, but I really want to do this. Is I want to take that book that I have from Quistiva, which is literally step-by-step, click-by-click, click this, type this kind of training. And I want to do a course in July and August where we actually meet twice a week and I teach it like a college course.
Oh, wow.
8 weeks, 2 sessions a week. School. Homework. Yeah.
Summer school and homework too. Oh, that's so cool. So yeah. People have, it's basically on demand training that they have access to forever. And it's like does the LMS have sort of a wiki where they say, okay, now I'm going to do this inventory again. And they can go in and search where they can find that?
It's once you enroll in it, it's in your dashboard, and your dashboard has one section for the courses you've enrolled in and another section for the courses that you have completed. So if you have completed a course, you can still go over to that section and rewatch the videos. We don't take them from you. They don't expire. For NASBA reasons, if you are there for CPE, you have to finish the course within a year to get your CPE on it, but we don't take the course away. In fact, because it's QuickBooks and it's changing all the time, we have a maximum of 2 years re-record schedule. Some of them are every 6 months or every or once a year. But like my 1099s course, I'm teaching this coming week, my 1099s course, but that changes every single year. And so anybody who registered for it in 2022 is going to get the 2024 content. Because we just upload the new videos.
The updates. Cool. Tell me a little bit more about the makeup of your team. You've got you and Jamie. Do you guys have anybody else on your team?
Yeah. My operations manager is Jeff Black, who was a friend of the family. I've known him for over 20 years at this point. And he worked for, I don't know if you've ever seen the stickers, the Heart in Oregon stickers. And it was a huge thing in Oregon for like 10 years. They were absolutely everywhere. REI used to sell them.
What were the colors? I might know if I, obviously it was a red. Is it red and yellow?
No, it was a green heart inside the shape of Oregon. And the company that made them, Heart in Oregon or Heart Sticker Company, Jamie was their business coach, and they actually went almost national to almost 50 states for a while. But in any case, Jeff used to work for that company and for the American Heart Association. And we were just like, Jeff, we want you to work for us. We want you to work for us. We want you to work for us. And then one day there was a Facebook post saying, hey, does anybody know of any, I'm going to do a career shift. And we're like, Jeff, we've been asking you, work for us. And so he came and worked for us. He's been with us now for about 5 years. And he's the lifeblood. If you call Royal Wise, you don't get me, you get Jeff. And Jeff is just awesome, great personality, can multitask and do all kinds of stuff for us. So we're just, you know, everybody needs a Jeff. Everybody should have a Jeff.
Everybody needs an operations manager.
Needs a Jeff.
Yeah.
Not just an operations manager, but everybody needs a Jeff.
Yeah.
Everybody needs a Jeff. And then 2 years ago, we brought on a marketing guy, Hayden. And Hayden is responsible for the look and the feel and the branding of the whole platform. So he's the one who does all of our graphic design, writes all of our newsletters, and then does some of our bigger strategic initiatives. Like right now, he's doing a mailing campaign for the portal so that we can get it out to accounting firms.
Dope. All right.
Well, and we just hired my 17-year-old son.
So it is all in the family.
Yeah,
how old are your
children? He won 17 and 16.
16. Okay. Yeah. So they're aging out soon.
Yeah. So Zip is right now editing JMac Fixes Everything. So he's editing the podcast and he's going to start carving up the courses and making shorts out of them and YouTube videos and TikToks. And so that he's going to be our social media. Who better than a 17-year-old kid, right? I'm considered cringe. I'm cringe. I know I'm cringe. I need him.
Well, if you're cringe and you own it, then at a certain point, it's not cringe. It's funny again, and it's good. Yeah, like I'm cringe too, but I own it. So that's my whole rap shtick, right? The okay rapper.
Yeah, exactly.
Now let's bridge a little bit into opening your mind. That's one of my themes here at Accounting High. I know you're one that, you know, you live in Portland, so obviously everybody knows for that. I am leaving for an ayahuasca trip in a couple of days. I know that I've obtained some psilocybin because it's legal up there in Portland. And I'm a big, heavy proponent of pot smoking or marijuana. I don't really talk. I'm trying not to talk about it as much, but that was sort of the theme here at Accounting High early on.
That's why it's Accounting High, right?
Yeah, it's a double entendre, right? Triple entendre. I'm on a cleanse right now going into this ayahuasca trip. I haven't smoked weed in 5 days.
Hey,
this is the longest I've gone in, I don't know how long I can remember, maybe 3 years, 4 years, 5 days. It was a lot for me. I'm very clear-headed right now, but my mind is still open, you know, and all of that. Tell me about your journey. I mean, you're in Portland. I don't want to make any assumptions or anything like that, but tell me about your journey and how that has helped your endeavors in all of this and teaching and in life and in running in business.
Are you using like being in Portland as a
everybody knows Portlandia is just, yeah, you know, again, I'm not going to make any assumptions here.
Well, in fact, you mentioned ayahuasca. When I lived in Santa Fe, I was an ayahuascara for several years.
What is that?
I used to drive up into the mountains in Mora, New Mexico, and do ayahuasca for a couple of years.
I've never done it, but this is my first journey into that. Mother Aya has called me. I'm going into it. So tell us a little bit about that. How has that opened up your mind? What is that?
Well, they call it La Purga, the purge. And so basically with ayahuasca, the way that they did it is we were in this adobe hut that was probably maybe 20 feet across, maybe 30 feet across, and everybody would sit along the wall. And you had a bowl next to you, and you would drink the ayahuasca, and they call it the purge. It makes you throw up. You purge all of your negativity and all of your doubts and all of your worries and all of your fears, and anything that's a negative emotion gets hurled literally out of you, leaving you as an open shell that then you ideally put the good stuff back into. And so that was a big part of my journey. I mean, I did crystals, I did astrology jewelry, I was a massage therapist, I almost became a chiropractor. That was, there's another world where I don't do QuickBooks, where I'm a chiropractor in Portland. But with Oregon, definitely, it was one of the first states to legalize pot. And that is where a lot of my brainstorms come from. That we have a joke in my house that it's called the brilliant idea of the night. And so I'll come downstairs and I'll go, hey, we need to do this. And Jamie says, well, let's put a pin on it and see how we feel about
see
it.
See how
in
we
morning.
Feel in the morning.
But a lot of the projects that Royal Wise does have been directly from the brilliant idea of the night.
I love that. The brilliant idea of the night. I've had many, many, many of those. That's turned into rap songs. It's turned into my whole rap career was a brilliant idea of the night one night. That's awesome. So,
I mean, for me, Royal Wise is a creative endeavor. I actually consider teaching QuickBooks a creative outlet for myself. I consider setting up a QuickBooks file a creative outlet because every customer is different. There's nothing cookie
it's
cutter
the act
about
of creation.
It. Yeah. Yeah. And so I love it and I'm fascinated by it because every client who comes to me is a puzzle to solve. And whoever thinks accounting is boring is not doing it right. Because it's fun to like figure out how all the pieces fit together.
Well, that's our mission here at Accounting High, is to let people know accounting is fun. It's an act of creation in everything that you're doing, building these relationships. The comprehension, the retention is all an act of creation for you. Mm-hmm. I love that. That's essentially going to be the title of this episode, the relationships in tech, the comprehension, the retention. We'll figure out something fun there. Mm-hmm. It's easy to rhyme those T-I-O-N words. So we'll do something rhyming and rhythm. Tell me some of the takeaways you've had in all your years doing this, 15 years. We're on iPhone 15 now. So it was on the cusp of the iPhone. You've learned a lot over the years. What's some wisdom you can share being the wisdom owner of Royal Wise? I was saying Royal and Owl at the same time. You are Miss Wisdom here at Accounting High. Give us some wisdom. Give our students some wisdom.
If you are experiencing frustration, the thing that you have to remember is that it's not as hard as you're making it out to be, that you want to stay present and focused. And if the little voice in the back of your head is chattering away, that's just a little voice in the back of your head. Just tell it to shut up, that you got this. You can do this. You will figure it out. Don't get in your own way. Don't get in your own way. None of this is hard. Most of it's systematic.
And we all get in our own way at times. I think maybe that's part of this whole ayahuasca thing, is getting the negative out so you can get out of your own way. I find I get in my own way in everything I do, in anything. And I've been doing that for this whole past year with Accounting High, and I need to get out of the way and continue to let it grow and build a team here and everything. I can't do everything myself. That was the lessons I learned at my firm. You've learned that. With Royal Wise, you have a team and you're building that out and you're teaching teams. So you are part of the varsity team. We're going to have you come back and visit varsity team. This has all been tech time today. I want to thank you so much, Alicia, for joining me. We're going to see more of you here at Accounting High. I'm going to ride us out with, we've had a musical session, you and I, today too. And I'm going to ride us out with one more song to end the episode. If I can pull it up. This has been Tech Time at Accounting High. Thank you for joining me, Alicia. Class dismissed. Digital Tech Tuesday.
Yeah. Hey, I remember server systems with tech allowances, fintech vendors with some cloud outfits, but now low coding this computer science for accountants. In fact, I'm remoting in new tools, paperless, asynchronous for data analysts, APIs to find all your SaaS apps connected, cloud computing plugins for your implementation, automate technology to leverage the meta, disrupt your desktop, then break it down. We sharing metrics, AI to the GPT to the AI disrupt. Bitcoin, Ethereum, and crypto agents disrupt. Time to tweak your tech team and make some changes disrupt. If my staff quit, I still have automation disrupt. Last episode just went viral. Let's go, it's gonna make your head spiral. Scarano, Casey, Sunshine, Accounting High Show. The lab is ready, it's tech time, yo. Glitch, it's tech time. Disrupt. It's tech time. Disrupt. It's tech time at Accounting High. It's tech time. Disrupt. It's tech time. Disrupt. It's tech time. Disrupt. It's tech time at Accounting High. It's tech time. Disrupt. It's tech time. Disrupt.